January 10th, 2010, Living and Dying with Honor, Bible Study Lesson Number 136, The Special Series Within It, Obedience to God and Man, Bible Study Lesson Number 46. We are examining now the Adamic culture, and we're down the concept of seeing the principles of the attitude that went on within this culture, a very important thing to understand, and where we're at. Man must learn to depend upon God to keep moving forward and not upon self. Man often depends upon self. God sometimes brings people to the point where there's nothing else. Colonel Nick Rowe, in his book 5 Years to Freedom, wrote the thoughts after 4 years in a poetic form. Time is infinite and creeps on knees, made stiff with age, so slowly does it crawl. But looking back, the years have flown, each so useless, each a void. Perhaps it is this that makes it so, the painfully slow, yet rapid flight of many days, none with a face, none with its mark, one like another in long endless procession. What fate is it that holds us so, suspended in this abhorrence, void? Surrounded close by an alien force, while all around us life flows on. I seek the light that issues forth from that which I knew and those whom I love. That which now seems like a dream from the past and forms my greatest hope for the future. With faith and hope I will survive, determined not to falter, not to die. I promise to myself to stay alive, swearing that to oneself one cannot lie. Oh, infinite time creeps on, creep on, or speed like mercury as the wind. For though suspended in prison bound, my mind reaches out to touch the light, and somewhere in the surrounding dark, the light I seek always really glows. Perhaps from here, there's only a glimmer, but the source is sun bright and strong. So span I will the time between, and at time's end, I'll touch the light. For I have felt the Lord's strong hand, and with his help, I cannot fail. Pressing on to the mark of the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. Not giving up. We thank God one day at a time for every day we live. We thank him for teaching this Bible class. We never know. We point out this before. This could be the last class God ever allows us to teach him on this earth. It's all by his grace. His mercy. Before we begin, let's pause for silent prayer to give you time to make sure you know the filling of the Spirit of absolute objectivity teaching of the Word of God. Shall we pray? Of teaching your word, for your word is absolute truth. We claim your promise it will not return void for the accomplish which he designed. Our Father, we pray for grace, mercy, and peace upon our nation. We pray, Father, that you will touch the hearts of those that study in our ministry, that we might have revival within our country. Help each one of us to draw closer to you one day at a time and learn to depend totally upon you for everything. And nothing upon the weakness of this flesh that we call ourselves. In Christ's name we pray, so even so come, Lord Jesus. Amen. Solomon said, King James, vanity, vanity, Hebrew, emptiness, all is empty. The general design of Ecclesiastes chapter 3 is to confirm what has already been observed in chapters 1 and 2. Ecclesiastes is the book of man under the sun. It is the book of man living within the Adamic culture. Reasoning about life is the best that man can do with the knowledge that there is a holy God and that he will bring everything into judgment. The key phrases are under the sun. I perceived and I said in my heart. Inspiration sets down accurately what passes, but the conclusions and reasonings are after all man's. That those conclusions are just in declaring it vanity in view of judgment to devote life to earthly things is surely true. But the conclusion of 12:13 is legal, that the best that man apart from redemption can do and does not anticipate the gospel. Ecclesiastes is in five parts, a theme in chapter 1, verses 1 to 3. The word of the preacher, the son of David, king in Jerusalem, vanity, vanity, saith the preacher, vanity of vanities, all is vanity, what profit is a man in all his labor? You take it out under the sun. Matthew Ecclesiastes, near the scripture, needs not prove his pride, but the impetus And the fire is thus a life apart from God. It is born to toil and to suffer, to experience some transitory joy, which is nothing in view of eternity, to leave it all, and to die. Look at Romans 8, 20 to 22. The creature was made subject to vanity, not willing, but by reason of him who is subjected to same and hope, because the creature itself also shall be delivered from the bondage of corruption and the glorious liberty of the children of God. For we know that the whole creation groaneth and travaileth in pain together until now. What profit a man, Scripture says, if he gain the whole world and lose his own soul? What profit the believer if he becomes rich and famous and successful as a loser at the judgment seat of Christ? According to 1 Kings 4:32, Solomon spoke 3,000 proverbs and 1,005 songs. He wrote most of the collection of Proverbs in the book of Proverbs. The section from chapter 1, verse 1 of chapter 9:18 is ascribed to him. Or the sections 10:1 to 22:16 and 25:1 to 29:27. All the Proverbs in the latter section were selected from Solomon's collection by King Hezekiah's committee in 25:1. We know nothing of Agur, author of chapter 30, or Lemuel, author of chapter 31. And Proverbs, though it is believed that these could be other names for Solomon using. Now, Proverbs hold up man in a way in wisdom of instruction that's very important. In contrast, Ecclesiastes, the Hebrew name is Koheleth, which means one who convenes and speaks at an assembly, or an ecclesiastic or a preacher. The Greek equivalent, Ecclesiastes, also means preacher, is derived from the word for an assembly, ecclesia. It does not specify that Solomon is the author, but it identifies him as the son of David, king of Jerusalem, which would make it the same thing. It represents the book to the author's unrivaled wisdom in 1:16, unequal wealth in 2:7, opportunities for pleasure in 2:3, and extensive building activities in 2:4 to 6, all point to Solomon, as nor the son of David measured up to such specification. Jewish tradition explicitly stated that Solomon was the author. Martin Luther, and many have chosen to follow him, denied the traditional view of man as of Solomon's authorship of the book. For it was written after exile by an unknown author who used Solomon as a central character. Linguistic evidence is said to demand a post-exilic date, but such evidence is in conclusion. Fragments of Ecclesiastes found at Qumran rule out any date later than 150 B.C. The message of the book can be stated to be in the form of three propositions. When you look at life with singular endless cycles, chapter 1, verse 4, our generations passes away, and another generation cometh, but the earth abideth forever. And he expresses paradoxes in 4:1, 7:15, 8:8. He might conclude that all is futile, since it is impossible to discern any purpose in the order of events. Nevertheless, life is to be enjoyed to the fullest, that is the gift of God, chapter 3, verses 12 and 13, verse 22. 5:18 to 19, 8:15, 9:7 to 9. The wise men will love life and obedience to God, recognizing that God will originally judge all men, 3:16 to 17, and 17 and 12:14. The book breaks down the author and the thesis in chapter 1:1 to 3, the thesis demonstrated in 1:4 to 2:26. We have the futility of the cycles of life, the futility of human wisdom, the futility of pleasure and wealth, the futility of materialism. The conclusion is, you ought to be content with the promises of God. In chapter 3, verses 1 to 22, he gives life's order of events. 1 to 11, he gives the good gifts of life. In 12 and 13, he gives the prospective future judgment. 14 to 21, the conclusion 22. If you tell the various circumstances of life, we're seen in chapter 4, 1 to 5, 20, of oppression in 4, 1 to 3, work in 4, 4 to 12, political success in 4, 13 to 16, false worship in 5, 1 to 7, hoarded riches in 5, 8 to 17, the conclusion 18 to 20. 6, 1 to 12 gives the futility of riches. And he gives the counsel of living in chapter 7, 1 to 12, 8. The counsel of Jeremiah's wickedness, chapter 7, verses 1 to 29. The counsel of God's inscrutable promise, chapter 8, verse 1 to 9, 18. The counsel of the uncertainties of life, 10, 1 to 20. And the counsel of the aging process of life, 11, 1 to 12, 8. And the conclusion in 12, 9 to 14. That's the background for the book that we're going to look at for just a minute now. Every person, purpose, there is a season and a time to every purpose under heaven. A set determined time when every things will come into being, not only shall continue in what circumstances, all things that are born or shall be were foreordained by God. He has determined the time, the full point of their being, duration, and this goes according to the divine decrees. On his decree, he will set this thing forward. Now, you, as the directive will at which he tells us to do, and responsibility for it, the permissive will at which he permits to do, which is always sin and involvement with sin and evil, his discretionary will at which he allows us to choose from, it does not matter. His overruling will in which he chooses to intervene in history to keep limitations upon within the contract. And he mainly posted the barrel, allowed Satan to post the barrel of his own recognizance to get out of his immediate sense to the lake of fire that he could be settled by the human race, the issue of the spiritual warfare and angelic conflict. We're out here then. God is in control of history and God is upon everything. There's a time for the purpose of the heavens. The only purpose of man is carried to execution. For some and not, they're superseded by the counsel of God. So the man can have a strong in the middle of them. But they can't take place. God will draw men from them by affliction or death. Your purpose is broken by some other means. So we read, everything there is a season and every time, every purpose under the heaven. Subterranean, the very word virgins rendered to everything under the heaven there is a time. Jack, I observe that in the mystic language, the word used is signifies. The time reference to every man, a time shall come, a season to every business under heaven. Next, we read a time to be born and a time to die. Time to be born and a time to die. The problem is to beget sons and daughters, but whether it is to bear them and being a time in nature and fix for that, from the hour of the women in Job 16:21, a time to die. Man comes to this world, he lives his X number of days, and he departs. The time of man's coming in the world and going out are both fixed by Jehovah Elohim. This is true of all men in general. Eternal, that the issue of death belongs to Jehovah. All men that come into the world, for it is appointed that they shall die, and particularly of Christ, whose birth was at that time appointed by the Father, and with his death. Our life, how long we live, who our parents are, everything about us is a part of the grace of God, and we need to understand it's related back to the grace of God. A time to plant. A tree is the target or any herb, and a time to pluck up that which is planted. A tree or herb is by fall and ground or is ragged and fit for use. Grown old, bad, and unfruitful is taking season for planting plants or someone or another may be supplied to civil sense by the planting and plucking up of kingdoms and states. In Jeremiah 1:10 compared to 18:7-10. In the eyes of Jews, the planning and plucking up of the kingdom of Israel. Now, time to plant. You have the planting of the crops. You have the planting of people. You on the planet of nations. Time to kill and time to heal. Time to kill and then a violent death is a time to die in a natural limbs of the tyrant and time to kill at war. It was behind the seven magistrates, such as one who deserves a fate. Abraham Ezra interprets it to wound because the object to heal. So there's a time when wounds and disease are incurable. And Babylon skilled physicians being designed on the death, and there's a time when by the blessings of God are means they are healed. Time to break down, a time to build up, to break down a better and better race is a time to break down cities in the world, and then as a city of Jerusalem by Nebuchadnezzar, to build them up in the time to their minds of Israel. Time to break down. Time to build up. Important issues, important times. To write to the church, a time when the church is torn apart. Believers shooting believers on every corner. Not literally, but verbally. Gossip and malign. The Bible says that when there was without sin, he cast the first stone, and it says, for all of sin and control the glory of God. So there is no one that can cast a stone. No one. Judgment belongeth unto God. That's why I told to judge no man in Matthew chapter 7. Well, God has a plan. We'll have to look at that plan in detail. The tavern says a time to kill and war, else by the hand of the civil magistrates. Abel Ezra interprets it to wound, because it's the object of the heal. Time to break down and build up, to break down a building and build a race, the tavern to break down cities in the world, then there's a city of Jerusalem. By Nebuchadnezzar to build them up again is the time of Nehemiah's Zerubbabel. A time to weep and a time to laugh. There's a time for these things as he goes in and well with persons as to their health, estate, friends, living and dying. There's in and well within the kingdom and states. The Jews wept that they were in Babylon and their mouths were filled with laughter when their captivity was returned. Psalm 137:1 and Psalm 126:1-2. As he goes around the church of the Lord Jesus Christ, the testings that we go through, there's a time of each two, as individual believers and collectively together. A time to mourn and a time to dance. To mourn at funerals and to dance at festivals in a spiritual sense, God sometimes turns the mourning of people into dancing and joy. There's an expression of it in Psalm 30, verse 11. Time to cast away stones and a time to gather stones together. Cast away stones out of the field or vineyard where they're hurtful and to gather them together to make walls and fences or to build something up. You've got the contrast there. A time to get and a time to lose. To get substance is a time and to lose it, wealth and riches. To seek and to lose. A time when the sheep of the house of Israel, God's elect of their day, were lost. A time to seek them out again, the elect of the church age. Believers turn their back upon God and become backslidden Christians, going to spiritual reversals. They need to be recovered. They need to be rescued. We've taught this many times. We say a brother, we're to pray for him. Ephesians 6:18. If he's in trouble, we're to pray for him. Not to condemn him, not to shoot him down. I know so many believers who are hurting in so many different ways these days. We have to keep going one day at a time. We used to tire ourselves. We slept about 4 hours, we were asleep about 4 hours last night, a little over 4 hours the most. We woke up. We barely got that. Couldn't go back to sleep. It was time to get up. But God is in control of history, and we have to keep going. We have to keep our commitments with Him. We have to press forward the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. A lot of people are occupied with collecting things and getting a lot of possessions, the details and circumstances of life. And then when they get them, they're too old and too sick to enjoy them often. Who shall these things be? Scripture says. A time to keep and a time to cast away. All right, we're up to the side. One that loves friend and hate a man, a sinner, as a tie to love a friend. Sorry. Look down my bifocals all the way, looked at the loved one. A time to keep and a time to speak. A time to keep and a time to cast away. To keep a thing is to cast, or to cast it away. As it mans the ship which Jonah was on when he cast him overboard. To be a comfort to keep riches. Something. The issue here is we have to decide where our priorities are and what's valuable. What are we going to hold on to the most? What's the most important thing in our lives, in our world, at any given point of time? Hebrews chapter 12. Wherefore, seeing also we are compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight, the sin which does so easily beset us, and let us run with patience the race that is set before. Setting aside the things that so easily beset us, here are our priorities in line. Setting the stage of life is what we have to do. One step at a time. Pressing on the upward way and you heights we're gaining every day. As I'm onward, homeward bound, Lord, plant my feet on higher ground. We need to get all our priorities totally in line. A time to embrace, a time to refrain from embracing. I skipped out what I didn't mean to. A man had designed conjugal embraces between a man and his wife, with parents embracing their children as Jacob did his, and one brother embracing them as Esau and Jacob did. Embracing here implies the concept of believers developing a esprit de corps for each other. I skipped it for a moment and we're going to come back to it though, because it's so important. It's so important. We cast away stones and we get the stones up. We clean out the field by casting away the stones. We use the stones to erect a wall or a building around us. Then we jump down and we saw there's a time to get it to collect things up and a time to cut loose and cast things away, a time to keep and a time to cast away. We want to go back to a time to embrace and a time to refrain from embracing, because there comes a time when we need to carry the rucksack of other men. There comes a time when parents should carry the rucksack of their children. Perhaps Adam fails and carrying Cain's rucksack at the right point, straightening Cain out a little bit. God allowed these things to happen. The ultimate glory of God. Abel died a great man. Though he were dead, yet speaking 6,000 years later. It's something to think about. We need to embrace. We need to embrace people and we need to embrace values. It might be a manly hug between two men, or it might be a soul embrace. I'll stand by you to the end. I read in the last class about the five senior officers, one by one, that were taken and tortured so the church could be held there, even though the church was a very simple thing, according to the scriptures, reading of the Lord's Prayer. Do you have the Bible? I haven't seen anything mentioned about hymns and descriptions of what they did there in Noah's book, Colonel Thornis, and for a very important role. Recall him and using him in the book of Captain Rutledge wrote. We need to know where we're at. We need to know what our value systems are and where we're going. It's hard. Sometimes life completely overwhelms us. We become so tired, we don't know where we're at. We become so weak, we don't know where we're at. We have to pull together. We need someone to help us. They're not always there. Being alone is a tragic thing. Many pastors in times of their greatest pressures have found themselves totally alone. But it allows us the opportunity to grab a hold of Christ because He has promised, I will never leave thee nor forsake thee. Now, a time to run, a time to sow, as we drop down to verse 7, to rend garments in case of blasphemy in times of mourning and fasting, and then to sew them up when they're over. It's illustrated by Isaiah 37:1 and Joel 2:13. Thus the Jews applied to the rending of the 10 tribes from Rehoboam. My apology, I had a rough night, like I said, the black coffee I'm trying to keep drinking. Sometimes my body just completely overwhelms me. I read on, but we thank the Lord. So I hope you'll be patient with me. You want a perfect Bible teacher, you got the wrong one. You got a weak man. Many ways, but a man who's trying to trust God one day at a time and keep going. To run in the soul. All right, they would run their garments and they would sew them up again. Isaiah 37:1-2:13. The Iron Kingdom was rendered loose from the southern king of Israel, 1 Kings 11:30-31. The sewing up of the United States is foretold by Ezekiel 37:32. A time to keep silence, a time to speak. Which is not a time, a time of calamity. It's not a time to be too talkative. Romans 5:13. No, it says that the prudent man learns to keep silent. There comes times when we can't say as much as we'd like to say. I've had a hard time learning that. Take a minute to give an answer to a man and ask it, hope for saying I've given them too much information. And they've reacted to it. They didn't want it. One thing we can do for other people is pray for them under any and all the circumstances. Whatever is going on. Some of them may tear themselves out of your life completely. They don't want to know this for a fact can happen. They can even go and get a police court order. Happens all the time. The husbands against wives, the wives against husbands. Orders them not to speak to the other person. There can be no reconciliation when there can be no conversation. The Lord Jesus Christ said, "Behold, I stand at the door and knock. If any man will open the door, I will come in and live myself with him." He's speaking of spiritual fellowship. Jesus Christ wants to have spiritual fellowship with you and I, as believers. But we have to want to have spiritual fellowship with him. They sang the song, "Come into my heart, Lord Jesus. Come in today, come in this day, come into my heart, Lord Jesus." That's not the way to be saved. The way to be saved is to believe in the Lord Jesus Christ, and I shall be saved. The passage in Revelation chapter 3 is written to believers in the Laodicean church. Believers, I believe, have been told, "Come out from among them and be ye separate, saith the Lord." How? By some separation into the Lord Jesus Christ and their souls. Trust in Jesus. That is all. Trusting as the days go by, trusting in whatever befall, trusting Jesus, that is all. We need to understand. We understand that we can't always stand, be the one to stand up and be counted. I've been very active at times in the political world. But I've seen it accomplish nothing. No others were. Friends who held political office, many were qualified to hold high office and sought it and would have got it. My well-known story of Colonel Thurgis is the fact that he, before he decided to leave South Carolina, where, South Dakota, where his wife was from, he challenged United States Congressman or Senator George McGovern in his own backyard after McGovern had been the presidential candidate of the extreme left liberals. Bill Walsh. The microphone fell and dropped on the floor. Earl lost a very close race to Senator George McGovern in 1972. He lost the South Carolina congressional race. Lost senatorial races in the state of Washington, sad to say. I think he would have made a great United States Senator. Colonel Ronald Howard told me when he was retired from the Army by telephone he was thinking seriously about running for the United States Senate seat from Alabama. I was hoping that Colonel Howard would be elected to the U.S. Senate. He was not. He did not choose to run in. But the thing I realize is that, that it doesn't really matter. You can lay the message out and tell the truth and people aren't necessarily going to abide by it because they don't want to hear it. A lot of people don't like my teaching because I talk too negative at times. I don't have enough positive uplift. I want them to feel good. They want to feel good. They want to come to church to feel good. They want to get spiritually uplifted. They want to get emotional. And then they get out there and they get slammed by the world and they don't know what to do. But you know, you try to explain things to people and they either think you're bragging or lying. 11 and a half days I sat by my wife's bed and wept and cried, looked at my wife down as she came in and out of comas. I saw the realities of life. I remembered Mimi Rigg. Dear friends, years ago, Doug and Sharon Rigg's daughter who got pneumonia on the virus brain, I think if I remember, it was either December of 80 or 81, I forget which year, we were not in the area at the time. We came back here in 84 and I saw the girl. Couldn't speak, paralyzed, one eye blind. The other eye seemed at times coherent, other times incoherent. Who knew what was going on, but she loved the Lord Jesus Christ. We know that. She used to sit in Bible class. She wanted to go to Sunday school for the younger kids. She used to want to come sit into my classes on my early Sunday morning class and listen to me teach. Her parents let her do it. She's with the Lord Jesus Christ now. Tell you something. The realities of life. There's so much suffering in this world around us. People don't want to know about it. My wife was came out of the hospital. I came home one day when she was still in the hospital and there was a telephone call and I used to be a friend of mine. He burned the bridges. I didn't burn him to him. He burned him. He felt justified. I'm not judging him for it. I still have the Lord Jesus Christ, not that many pious person. They left a message on the answering machine. I called him up. They asked a couple of questions, and I started telling him things. And I guess I gave him too much information about some of the things he'd went through because he hung up on me and didn't answer the phone when I called back. That's the answering machine. Last time I went to talk to the man. But you know, he's got his problems too. We prayed for him. He's got his own health problems. Problems with one of his children. Many people share their great burdens in this world, this life, and don't tell anybody about it. Sometimes people ask, they tell. I've been pretty free with information concerning my wife and the problems that she had down there because I think it's a testimony of Jesus Christ. He raised her up. And because I always wanted prayer for her, encouraged prayer for her. I think that's correct. Other friends of mine don't believe in giving information about anything. I can understand where they're coming from too because I talk little about what I go through. Doesn't matter, I'm no hero. I want you to understand something though. We need to learn what it means. When you learn, there's a time to speak and a time to be silent. I believe that in the last days of this, that we're living in today, that there are many things I'd like to say to different people I don't think I can say anymore. In general, because they're not going to accept it. People do not want to hear where our country is going or where it's been. I've talked about the MIA question many times and found few people who care. Easier to pretend they never existed than to face the reality that we might have abandoned good men in Vietnam and Laos. Past reports indicate they were not alive in Cambodia. We don't know that for a fact. That's the best reports. By far. But the other two countries are yes. Lots of them. There are issues. Other things we could talk about. People don't hear about them because we're bucking the system that they want to believe in so importantly. A friend of mine, a dear friend of mine, sent me an email one time. Told me that he thought that we had to establish my life with spiritual life and do what we could to establish my life. And he went ahead and he mentioned something in voting. And I says, I quoted another friend of mine years ago, several people, in fact, one particularly used to always say it, it originated. I said, but voting for lesser of two evils is still voting for evil. You didn't understand it. The lesser of two evils is still voting for evil. There's a time, now when it comes to the gospel of Jesus Christ, we should always stand up and be counted. Give the gospel to the unsaved people. When people ask us that there needs spiritual recovery, we're to be ready to give an answer to every man asking the hope for sinners, both in salvation and spiritual recovery. Encourage people to grow in the grace and knowledge of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Don't misunderstand me. That's spiritual issues, but other issues we sometimes have to back off and be prudent, as James 5:13 says. A time to love and a time to hate. These are all the trends within the Adamic culture. The Adamic culture settled down into a fatalistic, normal system of living. When love is fun to hate a man, a sinner, as the time him to love a friend when he continues such an hate him and less love him when he proves treacherous and unfaithfulness and the change of love and hatred. Some think it's in the case of Amnon in 2 Samuel 13:15. A time of allegiance. A time of loving worldly lust and sinful pleasures, the company of wicked men and all kinds of delights. Recreations in a time of conversion, a time of hate that was being loved, sin, has been pointed out in one of the possible illustrations for it. Time to love and a time to hate, but let me warn you about something. We're told to love evil and hate evil and love good. That's what we're to hate, Amos 5:15. We're not to hate people. One of the greatest things you can do when somebody slaps you in the face and insults you is pray for them. They burn their bridges and walk away from you. Keep praying for them. They'll keep you in the wrong attitude, squirrel away, and you won't have the wrong attitude. It works. People are alive that severed the ties, we can still pray for. We talk to mothers who wept and cried over sons they haven't heard from in years, daughters they haven't heard from in years. What the way they have heard about them was not good. Backslidden. Or unsaved. They keep on loving them and keep on praying for them. There is so much that we can pray for if we're willing to do it. So much that we can do if we're willing to do it. We just have to trust God. We just have to trust God. I like the New American Standard thus far reads in this passage. Help you get the flow of it. There's a point in time for everything, and there's a time for every event on the sun. A time to give birth and a time to die. A time to plant and a time to uproot when it's planted. A time to kill and a time to heal. A time to tear down, a time to build. A time to weep and a time to laugh. Have you wept with your friends? Do you know when the time comes to laugh, and do you know when the time comes to weep? Are you prepared for that? Are you prepared for life as we know life? A time to mourn and a time to dance. The feelings of our loved ones, people mourn, particularly if they're lost, or they don't know if they're saved or not. Time to cast away stones. New American translates the time to throw stones and time to gather stones. Time to embrace and a time to shun. Verse 6, the time to search and the time to give up what's lost. The time to search, to move out. It's all the time to get and the time to get lost. The King James. Time to keep and a time to throw away, a time to tear apart and a time to sew together, a time to be silent, a time to speak, a time to love and a time to hate, a time for war and a time for peace. War and peace. And what she does in verses 2 and 3 is giving and taking of life for God's prerogative, Deuteronomy 32:39. See now that I am he, and there is no God beside me. It is I who put it to death and give it life. I have wounded, it is I who healed, and there is no one who can deliver from my hand. God, we all have a responsibility. I have given man's corporate responsibility to carry out capital punishment in the case of murder, Genesis 9:6. Now, the hatred there, by the way, is not in verse 8, is not necessarily an expression of hatred, of malice at all. It's an expression of righteous indignation. And hating having, hate evil and loving good. In the time of war and the time of peace, most people are at peace all the time, but we're in the spiritual warfare of the angelic conflict. If you're truly involved in the things of the Lord, you're at war 24 hours a day, 365 days a week. Live it, wake your sleep. Now, shooting wars and cold wars. Wars between believers. Sad, a reality of life. Nations to be engaged in war with each other, to be at peace, which are continually reviving. There's a time when there's no more war. In a spiritual sense, the present time or state of things is a time of war. The Christian life is a warfare state. So we have to look at this. We're pressed to the mark of the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. All these things are traits that relate to the nation, the Adamic nations, the neutralized nations who try to take a stand on either side. Normal living just comes on. I want you to see that normal living is out there for these people, but they're occupied with temporal living at the expense of spiritual life values. But the Adamic culture gave us a heritage. A heritage is an ascetic culture. Another period I've been involved with the Celtic Revival at the Lord of Venus. He got saved and became a part of the culture. A passage in Genesis chapter 4. Read New American Standard, this one, 40, 25, and 26. Adam had relations with his wife again. She gave birth to a son and named him Seth, for he said, God hath appointed me another offspring in place of Abel, for Cain killed him, and a Seth. To him also a son was born. He called his name Ish. Then men began to call upon the name of the Lord. Seth means the appointed one, the substitute for the slain Abel. Now, some of Adam's other children undoubtedly were saved before, I'm sure Seth was saved before the birth of Enos, probably. And the children were saved. But many of them probably left their first love and remained a part of the Adamic culture. They were just struggling along. I've known good people like that. I've known saved people like that. East Wind. Got an Abidarsian ministry among them and know something about and talk to and listen to a lot of prisoners of war, particularly the Vietnam War. I knew some from going back to the Battalion Death March and all. I had the privilege of being a guest of some of the prisoners of war at the ex-prisoners of war at their conventions. And you have to understand to work through. I remember again, like Dale Jennings, who worked with the XPOW Association Medal of Honor recipient out of Vietnam, Commander Sergeant Major Jennings. I said, Dale, talk about some things. Work with him, Marlene Agnes, the widow of Fran Agnes. Fran was the National Commander one year of the American Ex-Prisoner War Association. His wife worked with the VA with them. Harry Chamberlain, who was the volunteer service officer with the American Ex-Prisoner War Association. Priest of Freedom, Bryce Lilly, who spent over 3 years as a POW, captured on Corrigano, the Fall of Bataan. Fred Agnes was captured in the Fall of Bataan also, part of Bataan Death March. Harry Chamberlain was taken on Corrigano, with the same ride as those on Bataan did. The tragic days of the war for them. Slave labor camps, all the things that went with it. And others. The humanity of man to man is unbelievable. Suffering can be unbelievable. You're learning to phase things out and keep going day by day by day in the struggle. This is what happens in the spiritual warfare and the angelic conflict. People get so caught up just trying to survive. I remember many years ago when I was healthy, younger, and we had Bible classes every night of the week, except Saturday. Sometimes we had them on Saturday morning and stuff, or a special Saturday night session and stuff like that. Teach the Word. People were anxious. We enjoyed it. The radio ministries. And the opportunities were gone. The doors were closed. God opens and God closes doors. We recognize that. Now, I want you to understand something. Revival broke out with the Celtic culture became part of the altars. But there are people who leave their first love. Some of them probably joined Cain in exile and became a part of the kinetic culture. It's a logical induction in every generation. There were some from the Adamic culture who became saved and became heavily involved in the Sethic culture, the correlation of God's the Sethic kingdom, the positivation toward God and spiritual life issues. It's also a logical induction in every generation. There were some from the Adamic culture who, in their last condition, joined the kinetic culture through negative volition toward God and spiritual life issues. At the time of the flood, all the surviving members of this culture died, descended to death, either as personally or as missing members or as unbelievers. Most Bible teachers have accepted the idea that everyone who died in the flood was lost, and this may or may not be true. Genesis 5:6 speaks of the righteous wickedness of man in the Kinetic culture, and it results in the complete contamination of people to the inner being, fallen angels. Now, his father from the Sethi culture were the only believers serving God. The fact that all flesh is corrupt is real, that the earth was filled with violence shows the degeneracy of the human race in general. For the very distant believers have become involved in violence and morality just like unbelievers. Every president of the United States in my lifetime, except John F. Kennedy, is professional and wanted to be a believer in Jesus Christ. But I've never seen a president of the United States that was living deeply for the Lord Jesus Christ, spiritual life issues, interested in them. The Bible says, blessed is another woman not in the castle of God, and start the word sinner, and says, see his core from his delights in the law of the Lord, and the law that he meditate day and night. Every president of the United States in my lifetime has sat down with evil men. The United Nations negotiating with the communist world. Being involved with the oil sheet nations where the gospel of Jesus Christ cannot be preached. Verses 5 or 6 speaks of the wickedness of man, the kinetic culture, who results in complete contamination of these people as a result of their crime, bidding with fallen angels. Now, his family from the Sethi culture were the only believers serving God on the earth on the day of the flood. The things they died that day and went to heaven, and they were up. The scripture says, the fact that all violence is corrupted is well, and that the earth was filled with violence serves the degeneracy of the Adamic human race. In general, but an evangelistic believer have become involved in violence and morality just like unbelievers. And the Father would speak to Adam, to the Adamic human race through signs and wonders, Genesis 1:4. Yeah. I'm sorry, I got the wrong verse there. Verse 9. Nope. My eyes got a little blurry there for a minute, and I couldn't see the scripture for what I was looking at. I went to verse 14. Then God said, let there be lights in the expanse of the heavens, and to separate the day from the night. And let them be for signs, and for seasons, and for days, and for years. Let them be for lights in the expanse of the heavens, to give light to the earth. It was so. So the sun, the moon, and the stars became signs that God placed in the heavens. No scripture passage implies that the sun ever appeared to Adam and Eve and talked with him after he was cast out of the Garden of Eden. In the garden, Christ walked with Adam. God the Son walked with Adam in the garden. The cool of the evening, after the fire, there are no scriptures that says he appeared to him again. Now the fact that Adam was a prophet of God, we know that the Spirit guided Adam along the way. He had to. Adam Fox is a patriarchal priest. We think he did so. The shock to Adam was great. It's quite likely that he did not have another Christophany appearance where he saw Christ face to face after the fall. However, says Christ appeared to Cain after Cain brought his worthless offering to offer him salvation by grace, but Cain rejected him without more labor. Genesis 4:5-8. For Cain, for his offering, had no regard, so Cain became very angry and his callous fell. Then the Lord said to Cain, why are you angry? Why are your callous fallen? If you do well, will not your callous be lifted up? And if you do not do well, so he's crouching at the door, and his desire is for you. But you must master it. And Cain told Abel, his brother, and it came about when they were in the field that Cain rose up against Abel, his brother, and slew him. Now, I want you to think about what we're saying here. God gave signs and wonders. No scripture passage implies that the sun ever appeared to Adam, but God gave signs and wonders. It appeared when he appeared to Cain. Cain would reject him. Appeared to Cain after Cain brought his workers offering to offer him a salvation by grace, but Cain rejected him without murdered Abel. But if God would speak to Cain, appear to Cain, then I believe it's quite possible the sun would appear to Adam again from time to time. We don't know. Speculation, but look at the grace of God in action. thinking of God's love for his son, his created son, who is now a child of God by salvation out of him. Son is perfect son by creation, fallen sinner by choice, a redeemed saint through positional sanctification. So I pray to carry less more, following the matter to judge him in Genesis 2, or 4, 9 to 15. This is 4, 9 to 15. The Lord said to Cain, "Where is Abel your brother?" He said, "I do not know. Am I my brother's keeper?" And he said, "What have you done? The voice of your brother's blood is crying to me from the ground, and now you are cursed from the ground, which opened his mouth to receive your brother's blood from your hand. When you have cultivated the ground, so that all the yellow strength to you, you shall be a vagrant and a wanderer in the world." Here. And Cain said to the Lord, "My punishment is too great for me. I can't take my punishment. I can't have it." Driven me this day from the face of the ground, from the face I shall be hidden, and I shall be a vagrant and a wanderer on the earth. That will come about, that whoever finds me shall kill me. The Lord said, "I'm after whoever kills Cain, then this will be taken him sevenfold, and not a pair of sign for Cain, lest any man, when finding him, should slay him." He went out for the presence of the Lord and sanctified and settled in the land of Nod, east of Eden. Cain went out for the presence of the Lord. He entered exile. He left this place, a spiritual place of truth, because he would not bring his sacrificial offering to the Lord. And he brought his offering to the Lord. His offering in Genesis chapter 4. Sin offering lieth at the door of your home. And he brought that offering and been saved. He chose to go his own way. He used his blessing to go this way. Now, the silence of Scripture implies the Son never again communed directly with a member of the Adamic culture, save by laws, during the antediluvian age. Plus years of spirituality may have resulted in the Father having given all the citizens of a Adamic culture over to a reprobate mind. If this is true and it's logical, then the Adamic culture would represent moral depravity among people with a reprobate mind. Romans 2, 1 to 16. Romans 2, 1 to 16. We have morally depraved people. Romans 2, 1 to 16. Therefore, we have an excuse, every man of you who passes judgment, for in that you judge another, you condemn yourselves. For you judge, practice the same thing. We know that the judgment of God rightly falls upon those who practice these things. They didn't practice the exact same sins in reality, but they practiced sin. And that sin was manifested. Just like the immoral man was a sinner, the moral man and religious man were a sinner, for all sin and come short of the glory of God. The sound man is a sinner, but the sound man has been convicted of his sin. It's supposed to have turned over the Lord Jesus Christ, be filled with the Spirit, with fellowship, for service, to worship God. I'll let you read the passage for yourself on moral depravity. We read it many times. Plus, when I finally agree that it is unlikely that these people that were alive at the time were saved, but we believe that this culture still existed as a culture of moral depraved people who rejected God and depended on their own human good works and their morality, saving them from their sins. Alright, I'm beat down completely. Yes, we've got a couple of minutes to go, but I finished that categorical thing and we're going to stop right there. Because I just can't teach you anymore. You might pray for my stamina. Father, thank you for teaching your word, for your word is absolutely true. We claim your promise, your word will not return void. The cup is what you desired for in Christ's name. We pray, and even so come, Lord Jesus. Amen.